Good Friday, the tabernacle is empty. The Blessed Sacrament is not here. And so the cross takes the place of the real presence of Christ in the church. When the cross will be here, we probably won't take down that cross. We just got it hung today. It's beautiful, isn't it? Lonnie Tapia, who's the art teacher at Tolton, is the one who had repaired it and painted it. So when it's time for the adoration of the cross will be here and will come up two at a time. And if the outer rows can come in at the same time as the inner rows, just come right on through and we'll do all that at the same time. Another thing that is very powerful about Good Friday, we have today what's called the Solemn Intercessions, these 10 intercessions where the church, it seems to go on forever. But it's so important because on this day, above all, we have an intercessor for us. That's what that second reading from the letter of the Hebrews said. Christ died for us and pleads for us now at the right hand of the Father. On this day, above all, it's the time to invoke his mercy upon the church and the world and all of our family and friends and each one of us. So we want to intercede today. And so the church gives us an opportunity to do that very beautifully and solemnly. In the Passion account, what does it mean to be a king? And what does it mean to be the subject of a king? Do you want to be a king? Do you ever think of yourself as being the subject of a king? Pilate asked Jesus about being a king and about his kingdom, and Jesus answers, "For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Jesus the King tells us that his purpose is to testify to the truth. And we know that Jesus is truth incarnate. So kingship is about truth, about being light for others. To be the subject of the king is to belong to the truth and listen to it. In our world today, we're so afraid of claiming to know the truth or of someone claiming to know it. Maybe it's time we stop apologizing about knowing Jesus. Maybe it's time we stop being afraid of Jesus as truth incarnate. In him, there is no darkness, no deception. In him, there's perfect light, there's perfect truth. Pilate rejected Jesus. What is truth? Pilate would fit in perfectly with our secular society and secular politics. But being a king and being the subject of a king is not about power over others, where we have to twist the truth in order to maintain that power. No, it's about truth and listening to truth. It's about Jesus and listening to Jesus. Pilate has a moment when he gets close to the truth. He dresses Jesus up as a king with purple robe and crown and scepter. And he cries out a great truth. Behold the man. Behold the man. Jesus is indeed the man, the new Adam. Adam as he should have been. But we know that Jesus is more than a man. He's both perfect man and perfect God. And this is precisely what makes Pilate deathly afraid. Pilate says, "Behold the man." And the Jews reply, "He made himself out to be the Son of God." And the gospel says when Pilate heard this, he became even more afraid. Pilate took a great risk, a fearful risk, to testify to Jesus as the man. But he's even more afraid to listen to Jesus as the Son of God. How willingly do you and I listen to Jesus as he speaks the truth to us? And not just as we want the truth to be about him. Are we willing to be formed by him? How formable are we by this kind of king? Well, next, Pilate brings Jesus out and seats him on the judge's bench. Who's the real judge here, right? And this time he says to the people, "Behold your king." To the extent that we grow in relationship with Jesus, we grow in relationship to the truth, and we grow in becoming good subjects of our king. The last words of Jesus are great truths that we do well to hear and let soak into our hearts and souls. "I thirst." This had nothing to do with physical thirst, and everything to do with the king thirsting for subjects to hear his truth and become lovers of truth, human and divine. He thirsts for you and me. "It is finished." This is also a great truth. The passion of the Christ, the suffering of the Messiah, the crucified God, what he has done is enough for us. Listen to this truth. We don't need anything else in this world. In the death of Christ, the evils of this world are finished. The redemption of believers is accomplished. Listen to him. It's finished. He's done it. And he only needs us to listen to his truth and walk in it. Don't be afraid of truth. The shame of the first Adam has been undone by the truth of the second Adam. We need a living relationship with him. We need to listen to him and then to proclaim his truth. Behold the man. Behold the Son of God. Behold your king. Behold our way, our truth, and our life. It is finished. He's enough.